This is The End User, episode 112 for Friday, October 19th, Cellular Inception. Hello and welcome to The End User, the show where we get together and talk about our experience with consumer technology with a bit of news from your perspective. The End User.
It's the tech news that you can use.
I am your host and producer, Chris Barnes.
And I am Senior Vice President, Taylor Marks.
When did you get to be Vice President? I didn't know this was an option.
Well, I've been Vice President for a while, but I was recently promoted to Senior Vice President.
So you're Senior Vice President of
the End User.
Of the End User Consortium.
No, just The End User.
Oh, just The End User? Okay.
Yeah, we shortened it. We shortened it last year. I sent a memo.
Yeah, it must have gone to my junk folder.
You're supposed to have me starred, Chris, as a VIP.
Yeah, I'm supposed to be. You're supposed to be an important in my inbox. I'm sorry. I'll fix that after the show.
Considering I'm your only employee.
I guess we don't pay you enough, do we?
Well, I guess you pay me too much if all of my emails go into your spam folder.
Yeah, no, we just do this podcast for fun. So, anyways, it's a podcast about the news. So why don't we get into the news? We've got the pricing for the Surface RT device that Microsoft is going to be releasing very, very soon. And
pricing.
Yeah, it's always nice to get pricing. I mean, you look at the device and you say, well, I don't know if that thing is going to cost $800. You know, and of course that's not going to be a success. But
not to mention, pre-orders are open for sale. Although if you're listening to this and you're just finding out that pre-orders are available, you are way too late.
Yeah, it seems like as of right now during this broadcast, if you pre-order now, you're not going to get it until part of the way through November. But their pricing is interesting. They're undercutting the iPad in a weird way. It's starting at $499, which is the same as the entry-level iPad, but it's 32 gigabytes of storage instead of 16.
How many pixels, Chris? How many pixels?
What is it? It's 1366 by 768, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so no Retina screen.
That is not enough. Give me more pixels.
Yeah, no Retina screen there. So that's kind of a shame. But right. I'm excited to see what this device means. You know, are people going to go there? I think it's going to be interesting to see if people like Windows 8, if people like the Surface, if people use the keyboard. We're kind of in unprecedented territory there, and I think $499 is the right price. Oh, and Josh there in the chat is saying that only the $499 option is backordered. And if you get it with a cover, it's not backordered. So that's good to know.
Well,
that's not so bad.
Especially because you totally should get it with that cover, because as we mentioned before, that cover is pretty awesome.
Yeah, cover is pretty awesome. It's no iPad smart cover, right?
Well, I mean, even I would say it beats the smart cover.
No, that's what I'm saying. I guess I got it a little
backwards. It sounded like you were saying the opposite of that.
Yeah, I got it a little backwards, I suppose. So, yeah, we've got the pricing. You've got $600 for the 32 gig with the touch cover. So that touch cover is actually a pretty big premium, isn't it? It's a $100 accessory at that point.
Yeah, that's pretty steep. But yeah. No, early adopter stuff, that's what you get.
Yeah, I guess so. But lastly, it's $700 for 64 gigabytes with the touch cover. So there's the pricing. What do you think? Is that interesting? Would you get one, or are you?
I think that they should have like a cellular internet option on there.
Yeah, I don't know about that one. Because you know the iPad can come with LTE, right?
They're limiting their market there.
Yeah, I hadn't given that a thought because I would never get something like this with LTE.
Well, but lots of people would. It's an option.
Yeah, lots of people would.
It's
I just don't
have the option.
It is nice to have the option. I just don't understand why anybody would want an extra bill of that magnitude when they could just use Wi-Fi just about everywhere.
Because for some people, it's not just about everywhere. Well, I don't know. Maybe that comes later. But that is not the only Windows 8 or Windows RT news that we have for this week.
Sort of. We've got a release of the first TV ads for the Microsoft Surface. And I don't know. They're ads, right? Do we really care about ads? This is what's more interesting is that this is what the masses are going to see. You know, we already know about this kind of stuff, but it'll be
well, Chris, I care a lot about ads, but only when they're Apple ads. Did you see the iPod Nano and Touch ad where they're all bouncing around?
No, I didn't see that one.
Well, that's why I'm the senior VP, Chris.
Not yet, at least. you get look ahead looks at the Apple advertisements, don't you? Mm-hmm. You're on the mailing list or something.
I just go to apple.com and they show me cool things.
Oh, is that all you have to do?
Yeah. Well, that's all I have to do.
Well, so I don't know. If you want to see this ad, you can go through to the show notes and watch the video. I'm not sure this ad helps sell the device in any way. It's just kind of people dancing around. And I don't really care about the ads in the first place, so I'm not quite sure what to think of this.
Right. Well, I was thinking of Samsung's new Windows 8 offerings, which I think they look pretty good.
Yeah, they do look pretty good, and you got to trust that Samsung, you know, they've got the chops to do this kind of thing. They've got the chops to release good products really quickly. So it's no surprise that they would just unveil this entire line of devices that we hadn't seen before previously. So they've got, just like other manufacturers, they've got some all-in-one desktops, they've got some Ultrabooks, and some larger 15-inch devices, and they've got their, they're calling them Ativ smart PCs.
No, it's Ativ.
Is it Ativ?
Yeah.
I think
it's like Ativ without the C.
I think we determined that on the last podcast, but I've forgotten by now. No, it's Ativ. It rhymes with a leave.
No, it's Ativ, like active without the C.
No, this one is right. I actually remember that. Maybe it was on the last podcast, or maybe it was me listening to another podcast. But yeah, it's definitely a leave. It rhymes with a leave. It's Ativ, for sure. But anyway, these guys are expensive. They've got the 700 model for $1,200, and then a 500 model for $750, $650 without the keyboard. So this is not in the Microsoft Surface category.
Yeah, it's a little bit more expensive. But now, aren't these are all running full Windows 8, not Windows RT.
Yeah, the I think all of them but the Ativ. That
no, including that one.
Is it even including the Ativ?
Yes.
Ah, I missed that.
They have not revealed anything running Windows RT.
All right, so that changes things a little bit. These are x86 small laptop hybrids. Okay.
Yeah, these are a different class of hybrid.
Okay, that makes me reverse my position then, because if these are x86, then that's the right price, because that's how much laptops cost, right?
Right.
Yeah, so if you want to take a look, there's a picture of all the devices in the show notes. So it looks like a good lineup. I want to see this. I want to see the Series 9. That's the one I want to see.
And they will be available on October 26th.
Yep. So with the launch of Windows 8, here we go. It's going to be very interesting next week. What is that, next Friday? Yes, it's next Friday.
Yes, next Friday.
That's going to be very interesting. We'll have to see, because this is probably the first time that they're going to get some real, you know, they're going to be on the nightly news to regular people out there. So all right. We'll see what people's reaction is.
Let's talk about the one Microsoft product that's starting to come out this week instead of next week, and that's Xbox Music.
Right, so this is more or less a rebranding and tweaking of the Zune Music Pass service. People who had the Zune Music Pass service previously get kind of an early look at it. But it's out for everyone on the Xbox, as far as I can tell here. And it's going to launch on Windows 8 and Windows RT with the release of those products. So we'll get that possibly at the launch event. We'll see how they kind of roll that out. So the deal here is that it's not coming out for Windows 7. Isn't that a bit odd?
Yes.
I mean, wouldn't you expect them to at least support Windows 7?
I feel like the answer you're looking for is yes.
Well, why are you so cagey on this?
Well, because I'm an Apple fan, and you never expect backward support from Apple.
I mean, it should be supported on OS 10. I mean, if they really want to extend this platform, then they should be on OS 10. They should be on Windows and Windows 7.
No, but this is like not including something on Snow Leopard.
Right, specifically on Snow Leopard, yeah. I can't believe they're leaving behind Windows 7 people. I mean, that's the biggest install base you've got, and I've got to think that a lot of people, at least at first, are going to be scared of Windows 8 because of all the changes. So I guess maybe they're trying to push forward the Windows RT crowd or something like that.
I feel like the people who are subscribing to Xbox Music will not be so afraid of Windows 8.
Yeah, maybe that's true. But
they won't necessarily want to pay for it either.
Yeah, definitely not. And this is where it kind of gets interesting. So the free version of this service is kind of like Pandora. You don't really get to choose the song that you're listening to, and it's free with advertisements spliced in between. Or you can get the premium one, which is $9.99 a month, and it's basically a cloud streaming service like you would think it would be. So that said, they have a huge 6-month trial for Windows 8. That's a long time.
That's a pretty long time, yeah.
I mean, I've got to imagine that some people are going to get kind of tricked into using it because they used it for 6 months and say, oh, that was a trial? So the flip side of that coin is a 30-day free trial on the Xbox. So we'll see how Xbox Music does. Pandora's out there. Spotify's out there. There are already services out there that make sense for everyone, even in the Windows picture. So we'll see how this goes, I guess. How into their Xboxes are people? That's might be one of the answers here.
Okay. Well, we'll wait and see. But if that's the answer, I can tell you right now.
All right.
So finally, some non-Microsoft news. Google has just come out with their cheapest Chromebook. They were coming out with these browser-based laptops, a bunch of them from Samsung, and then they came out with a NetTop as well. Now they have one that is not running an Intel processor. It's running an ARM processor, and it's only going to be $250.
That is a good price point for something like this because you at least... when you make it that cheap, you at least get people to see the platform. Now you're going to be disappointed. 1366 by 768.
Well, you know, I think for an 11-inch screen for on a $250 laptop, that's not that bad.
Yeah, I could see that.
They could have gone 1024.
It's cheap enough and small enough that, you know, who cares a whole lot.
But, right. This is not something you're going to be watching HD movies on.
Although it's capable of it, they say.
Well, not on that screen.
No, I mean it has the processing power to process that kind of video.
Oh, great! It can downgrade 1080p video to 720p. That's what I want from all of my devices.
Yes, I'd like to get some downgraded video on my TV. That sounds like a good feature.
Oh boy, have I got the product for you!
Now, I do like that it's ARM, because ARM makes sense, and I'd like to see a lot of devices move over to ARM from the Intel x86, because the Intel chips and their power management, it's not going to happen. They're getting closer and closer, but it's just not going to happen. And ARM is the platform that can make that happen for devices that last days and days and days. So that bit is kind of interesting, but... Chrome OS? Who's going to use Chrome OS?
I don't know. I think it just hasn't quite found its niche yet. But somebody who is already using all the Google services, they've already got an Android phone. They don't particularly want a tablet. You know, they want more productivity, more of a traditional laptop form factor. You know, but they're not using their desktop or large laptop or whatever. You know, they want something at the tablet level, but with a little bit more productive functionality.
Yeah,
if they're already using all these Google things, I think it's a good investment.
I see what you're saying, and Josh there in the chat also says email and browser. Yeah, that all makes sense. But that the problem is not the use case, because there is a use case for Chrome OS, right? But the problem is, are people actually going to use this? And I think the answer to that thus far has been no.
If it was just email and browser, then I would rather have a Nexus 7. But if it's a lot of long emails or a lot of writing in Google Docs or a lot of watching videos or otherwise using Flash online, the Chromebook is going to be able to handle Flash better than any Android device can.
Yeah, well, it will handle Flash like no Android device can, because they nixed Flash Mobile a while back.
I think we're saying the same thing here.
Yeah, in different ways, I think. So I don't know. I guess keep your eye out for this thing, but I don't see it lighting the world afire. But it is a neat little device, and I could see some people in particular use cases liking this and being able to get by with just a browser. I think most of what I do resides in the browser now, so that's not terribly surprising, I suppose.
Maybe you should have got one.
Yeah, maybe I should get one. Maybe $250. That's not a whole lot.
Yeah, but you just bought a laptop, so.
Yeah, that's true. It's true. All right. Well,
it's. I just want to mention that it has USB 3.0, which is how many $250 devices are you going to find that has that?
Yeah, I guess that's true. What's the color of the 3.0 slots we're getting now?
So, it's probably blue.
Yeah, I think it's blue. That's the telltale sign of USB 3.
Unless there is no telltale sign, because Apple doesn't have that. You know that Apple doesn't have that.
So Apple has USB 3 ports that aren't blue?
Yeah, because if Apple has USB 3, then they're all just USB 3. Apple's like, what is this blue crap? We don't need that.
Yeah, they'll make it anodized aluminum colored, something like that, to match the aesthetic of the rest of the computer.
Mm-hmm. That's how I like it.
Or just white.
So shall we turn on our afterburners so I can talk about Apple?
We shall. Get us started.
All right, go. So Apple has officially announced an event coming up this Tuesday, October 23rd at 10 p.m. Pacific in San Jose, not in San Francisco this time. But we're probably going to see a new smaller version of the iPad and maybe some other stuff too.
Yeah, so keep your ear to the ground. We will report on what happened there next week, I guess.
Yep.
So Google has an event for October 29th, but nobody knows really what's going on there. The rumor
is... Well, they did say it was an Android event.
Right, it's an Android event, and the rumor is that there's going to be an LG phone, and we'll get some details about Android 4.2. So that's speculation.
Going head-to-head with the Windows Phone 8 launch.
Yes. So that's a little speculation, but again, as it happens, we will report back.
We'll have to wait 2 weeks to talk about that.
You're right, 2 weeks for that one. So in some wireless industry news, Sprint is seeking to buy out Clearwire. You know, Clearwire is the company that they partnered with for their WiMAX rollout.
And even as they have just been bought out by Japan's SoftBank Cellular Corporation.
Yeah, that's right. Or that's proposed. That hasn't gone through yet. They've got to look at some regulatory things.
Well, that's the case with Clearwire as well. Although they were already investors in Clearwire, so I imagine that will be an easier sell. But it's deals within deals. It's
deals
like
deals within deals.
Cellular Inception.
Cellular Inception is the show title this week. So they previously had like a 40-some-odd percent stake in Clearwire, so no surprise they're going to try to take over a majority there.
No surprise at all. Finally, I just wanted to announce the official launch of Ubuntu 12.10 Quantel Quetzal. Definitely my favorite Ubuntu name.
Now, what is a Quetzal?
It's irrelevant, Chris. It's completely irrelevant.
So it's a bird of some sort, and it looks absolutely insane. So you must Google the Quetzal. I always liked Ubuntu's naming scheme with the animals and the alliteration and going through the alphabet. It's kind of nice.
When they run out of alphabet, they'll just call it Ubuntu, alliterative animal.
There you go. Yeah, you should propose that. But they do have a few interesting changes. There's not a whole lot of changes to the UI, which is what most people notice. They've got the Unity interface up front, and they're changing a couple things around. Notably, there's Juju, which is a automated service installing utility. So they've got some cool stuff going on over there.
Yeah, I'm not going to use it, but I do love that name.
Now, I'll probably put it in a virtual machine. I've gravitated toward Fedora for my Linux needs recently.
Okay, well, before you start doing any of that, we should turn off the afterburners.
Okay, turn them off, and let's get started with the end user stories. We've got an interesting move here from Boxy. They're coming out with a new box, and it's normal looking, which is interesting, because if you remember, the previous Boxy box was this insane... it's insane cube thing that was asymmetrical.
It looked like a black cube that had partially melted into your desk.
Yeah, right. So I guess the new Boxy box is going to be just a box. And that's kind of encouraging because that thing was insane looking. It was nice, but it just didn't fit anywhere.
It didn't stack well.
Right. It was nice and artful, but it just wasn't functional, I suppose. So what they're adding here is very interesting to me as well. They're adding a TV tuner, and they're adding the ability to DVR and playback content. But it's not what you'd think. You wouldn't think that me saying that means that you record content and then it immediately uploads it into the cloud. There's no local storage on this thing. It uploads it to their service, and you pay $14.99 a month.
So your box itself records the content, but then it uploads it to the cloud for storage.
Right. And then you can access it from any thin client from anywhere, basically. Now,
that's wild, but I kind of like it.
I also kind of like it. Now, one thing that I would like even more is to not pay $15 a month and plug a hard drive into it.
15 seems like a really hard sell to me. I mean, you're going up against Netflix, which is 10, and Hulu Plus, which is 8. You know, put those two together and you're barely more than 15, and you're probably getting all the functionality.
Yeah, and they've got, you know, they've got all the typical services. They've got Netflix, they've got Vudu, they've got, I don't know if they have Hulu Plus, but...
15 is more than you pay your cable company for DVR.
Right, well, sort of.
Well, it depends on the company.
Yeah, it depends on how you look at it. I mean, this is $14.99 a month to record over-the-air TV. And this to me is...
Or you could record from a cable company.
This to me is them trying to snag input one on your TV. That's the way I look at this. They don't want to be input two anymore. And I feel like previously they were input two and your cable box was input one, right?
Okay.
Because I think the previous Boxy box is, the previous Boxy box, it wasn't really a full-time thing. You wouldn't just turn your TV on and start using the Boxy right away. You'd probably have a cable box, or you'd probably have a DTV box, or you'd have something else. And the same goes for Roku. And I just, this is starting to get enough functionality that you could actually think of it as the first input, is what I'm saying.
It's starting to, but it's a hard sell to use this to drop cable. I don't think they're going to get many converts from TiVo.
No, probably not. Now, the way I use my media center is exactly this. I use DTV, and I watch it, and I record it, and... If they let me plug in a hard drive, I would consider switching. But if I have to pay $15 a month and use their cloud service that may or may not exist for a long time, you know, who knows what's going on there? I don't know. That starts to get a little less interesting.
I agree. It's a hard sell. That's what, yeah, I think.
Definitely a hard sell. I think you're right in that. So I'll definitely be keeping my eye. I'm interested. And if they can pull people like me away, I think they've got something going for them.
Well, that's true.
All right. Well, we're kind of cutting short the end user stories this week, but let's go ahead and move on to your green tech story of the week. What do you got for us?
So this week's story is about batteries, and I try to avoid talking about battery products that aren't on the market or are not even close to the market. But I want to talk about this one because it was really exciting to me when they mentioned graphene foam. Now, some researchers in China developed a new prototype battery that's based on existing lithium air technology, which is the best consumer battery technology that we have right now. But by combining it with graphene foam, they've done two things. One, they made it completely flexible. And two, they made it be able to charge and discharge in under 20 seconds.
Whoa, 20 seconds?
20 seconds.
See, now that is truly innovative. If this actually happens to get into the market, I would be extremely enthusiastic about that.
Right. So it weighs about the same. It has about the same performance, but it charges almost instantaneously, and it can be built into flexible materials. So I think that's pretty cool. But it probably won't be on the market for, you know, they say 5 years, and that sometimes means 10.
Yeah, they always say 5 years because that's when the funding cycles. But this would be a game changer. Same thing with cars, for that matter. Cars with batteries that can charge quickly is something that is really needed. So,
and a flexible battery in a car is much safer in a crash.
Sure. That would be very interesting if you could just plug your phone in for a few seconds and have it fully charged. That would change behavior. That would be a very interesting occurrence. So
right. So it probably would not be a full charge in a few seconds, just because that it works, but it reduces the life cycle of the battery. But they can still get it in under 20 minutes for a full charge without harming the life of the battery.
That's always the case with these battery stories that come up. So you usually get one aspect of battery that is desirable, and it degrades other aspects of batteries that are desirable. So that's not terribly surprising, but interesting nonetheless. We really need better battery technology, period. And whether it's this or something else, batteries are holding us up currently.
It's true. It's a big problem. And charging times is definitely something that we can do better. One thing that I don't think I've mentioned about my iPhone 5, but it charges the battery much faster. It's got a bigger battery than any iPhone before it, but it definitely charges more quickly than any iPhone I've ever had.
Hmm, interesting. I wonder what's going on there. You think it's the new connector, or it's just...
It may possibly be the new connector, but it's still charging at 5 volts, so I don't know how they're doing that.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, that's good to hear.
Or 5 watts, 3.7 volts? I don't know. However USB works.
A USB, well, it depends. It depends. Right. I don't know, so I won't say anything.
It's faster. I'm not sure how they did it.
All right, so that'll do it for the end user stories. Let's get into the tip of the week. And as is typical, it's your tip of the week. So what you got for us, Taylor?
This is one that I just discovered today. It is an online service called Swizzle, and it helps you deal with all those newsletters that you sort of want in your email inbox, but you don't really need to read all of them. What Swizzle does is it will help you unsubscribe to those newsletters, and then you subscribe to them on Swizzle instead, and then it sends you one weekly digest email.
Well, that's kind of neat. Now,
yeah, I don't know. I feel like I subscribe to a lot of these that I just don't read. Some of them just go straight into my archive or my spam folder. But sometimes I do care about some aspects of this, and so to be able to just condense those, if other people feel the same way, then you should check out Swizzle, because it's free.
Yeah, I definitely am a fan of going to the bottom of the email and hitting unsubscribe to any spammy kind of email I get. I just don't want to see it. I don't care. I don't want to see it.
Yeah, sure, if you don't want it.
Yeah.
But I mean, aren't there those emails where you do want to get that email sometimes, but you don't want to read the majority of it?
No, not really. I don't ever want that. I'll read about it somewhere else. But
I guess it's not for you then.
No, I'm a curmudgeon about that, but I realize that most people aren't, and this is actually incredibly useful. So it's a good one. And I love the name. The name sells it alone.
Swizzle? Yeah, it's a pretty good name.
Yeah, perfect. All right, well, let's swizzle on into the next story, and we're going to talk about some extreme skydiving. I don't know, can you even call this skydiving?
Well, some people tried to call it space diving, but there's a lot of controversy about that. So we could call it extreme skydiving, which normally sounds superfluous. But in this case, I mean, it was the highest parachute jump ever. I mean, he was over 128,000 feet.
Yeah, it's pretty wild. It's like 24 miles, right?
Yeah, 24 miles, almost 40 kilometers.
So we'll have a link in the show notes if you'd like to go watch the video. It's kind of breathtaking. And they used a bunch of camera technology to capture 4K and stuff like that. I bet you they'll be on Discovery Channel soon with all that footage.
Well, a lot of it is already online. It's on their website. You can see all the different feeds. And I was watching it live from their website. I was watching it streamed from their website to an iPad and then thrown up on an Apple TV.
Nice.
And they're broadcasting live from 128,000 feet.
Also, it's worth
And I was just watching this and thinking, wow, technology is amazing.
Also, it's worth noting that you were one of 8 million people that tuned in live, so that was pretty cool.
Yes, it was very exciting for me to watch, and I didn't even find out until later that he, during his free fall, officially reached 834 miles per hour.
Now, what's interesting about that one to me is that I was trying to find the answer to this, and I couldn't. So maybe one of our listeners can write in and let us know if this is incorrect or not. But I think he went past the speed of sound and did not sonic boom.
Well, that's right, because he didn't go past the speed of sound where he was in the atmosphere.
Exactly right. He went past the speed of sound at sea level.
Yes. Well, he went past the speed of sound at a lot of altitudes, but not at the one he was at.
Right. So
sea level is only 690 miles per hour.
I see all these headlines and they say supersonic free fall and it's all a lie.
It is a lie. Yes, he did not go supersonic.
Yeah, but it's still really cool. So check out the show notes and have a look at the link if you'd like to watch the video. So we've got one more related one, and that is for Lego kind.
Yeah, somehow, amazingly, a Lego recreation of Felix Baumgartner's jump has already been recreated. And it's been only a few days, so you would think that this would be... terrible stop motion or something, but it was actually it was filmed live, and they actually had a minifigurine jump, and it looks beautiful.
Yeah, it does, and they actually used a balloon for this. And I don't think they were 24 miles up, though, were they?
No, they were not. I'm not even sure that they were 24 Lego miles.
Yeah, I wonder if it was scale or not. I didn't look that far into it.
Most of it was scale, but I don't know about the height.
Yeah. So anyway, once again, it's really one you have to kind of go watch the video of. It's hilarious. I suggest you watch both of these in serial. They're both pretty darn cool.
RedBullStratos.com is where you can see the original live footage of the jump.
Yep, cool. All right, well, that'll bring us to the end of our show. If you were to try to contact me, you would find me at Chris Hale Barnes on Twitter. And Taylor, what's your Twitter handle?
My Twitter handle is at TaylorPhone.
I finally got you this time, this week.
I thought about doing a handle joke, but nothing came to me.
Nothing came. Okay.
You surprised me. You got to send me your wording in advance.
Yeah, we'll have to arrange that next time.
Hey, did you know that next week Entertainment 2.0 is going to be episode 100?
Oh, that's right. I nearly forgot. No, 200.
200. 200. What?
Yes.
Crazy.
They've been doing that for a very long time. So they're going to have some special guests and some celebration, perhaps some champagne and some giveaways. For the 200th episode, Entertainment 2.0 will be giving away a Seton Echo, which will be very interesting. So be sure that you tune in live to their broadcast next week. Have a look on Twitter to see when they're going live, and you can get a chance to win the Seton Echo. All right, so thank you everyone for listening to the show, and of course you can find more information, including the show notes with the links to the videos that we just talked about and much more, at thedigitalmediazone.com under the end user. That's THENDUSR. DMZ has a few other podcasts. You can listen to Entertainment 2.0, Scene in HD, and the Movie Podcast. We've got four podcasts going on. So, for us, you can send us some feedback at theenduser@thedigitalmediazone.com, and you can ping us on Twitter if you like. Together, we are at theenduser. You can join us live every Thursday night at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. I am your host and producer, Chris Barnes.
And I'm Senior Vice President Taylor Marr.
Thank you, Mr. Marr. Thanks for listening, folks. See you next week. Bye-bye.